science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
If it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I illusion.
Where you been?
Drunk. Wendy? Billy! Darling? Light of my life.
What is your one purpose in life?
To explode, of course.
I like death with sex. How about you, Casey? You like sex with death?
Yeah, so fuck up and die.
Start talking about them flippity fish, dude.
Flippity fish. It was quite flippy and floppy and foamy and slappy. All right. We're getting right. We're bursting at the seams to talk about this movie, apparently. Because earlier we had to pause.
I'm under pressure. my oxygen tank is running out.
I'm imploding as we speak. So this is the Cult of Cinema Knowledge podcast. Jordan over there. Leviathan ear.
Yeah, Leviathan. Oh my God, Leviathan, dude. And I'm scuba certified JH over here, man.
You're not actually, are you?
No. No, I'm not. No, but I would be for the right price.
Chet was. That's why I was like, remember when he was obsessed with scuba? Anyway.
I wouldn't be allowed. I would not be allowed to be in scuba. I'd be too scared.
You just,
dude, I don't want to, like.
You won't sink, you know?
Like, it's funny. Like, I feel like flying in an airplane, I'd get into a Boeing airplane at this point right now. I don't give a fuck. I'd be in any size. I'd go into any airplane ever made.
Like
I don't care.
Submarine.
But
like
the second, the second I'm even scuba diving, just like at snorkeling, I'm like, if I have to be in the fucking depths of the terrifying alien ocean, dude, I'm never going in the ocean.
So
it's
that's
horrifying.
That is why we picked this month is for Jordan's fear of the ocean, and which, to be fair,
I got it.
I mean, obviously you got it worse, but it's like, that is a very primordial fear. I don't know. Like the ocean, like it does. It's like, it's terrifying to
realize
how vast it is.
We didn't try to like learn about the depths of the ocean until like 50 years ago. Like we just stayed on top where God wanted us to be on top of the water.
Yeah, we know nothing. That's why there's quite a few mysteries at the bottom of the ocean.
Documentaries
type
made about
well that too, but I mean like you know like this. So obviously we're talking about Leviathan.
The documentary we're watching today.
The documentary. I'm like, Leviathan is one of many underwater horror / thriller / mysteries that came out in like a fucking 5-year time span, and.
Yeah, this was really a popular like, and I think like, it's funny because we always say like Alien kind of kicked off like space movies, but Alien pretty much started like all of these kind of movies. Like, and then The Abyss is what truly is the true like, you know, set piece.
Yeah,
for, like,
we're gonna bring up Alien again later because this movie's got a lot of Alien DNA. But I don't know what it is, but Alien, it's because Alien is the grandfather of sci-fi horror. So it's like any sci-fi horror owes something to Alien, I think, probably. Anyway, Leviathan.
I agree.
Synopsis? Did we? We need to get, we're going to get back in a rhythm, I swear. We're still thrown doing the podcast.
I know, right. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I kind of like just riffing, man.
Riffing's fun as long as we put a time limit on it, I think is what we got to do.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think we'll get good at riffing. But
that is true.
Anyway,
we should
hone
it.
I just wanted to mention real quick. Do you know what's great? So everybody out in podcast land, if you go to r/ coldest amount of knowledge, you go to our subreddit, you will be able to watch a video I posted. And they like mention it. And there's like a guy that's like, Leviathan.
Fuck out of here, Leviathan. They say it in the movie, like two characters say, it's Leviathan. And I'm like, but everyone else calls it Leviathan.
They?
But yeah, two characters in the movie do say it too.
Was it the doctor? Is it maybe it's like he's translating the Russian?
Yeah,
he's like, Leviathan.
It's one of the girls and someone else.
I mean, it's fine. It can be pronounced.
I was annoyed
both
so.
Ways.
My,
but it just definitely
always
like Leviathan.
The only reason, so I'd never seen this movie, but I remember my dad rented it in the 90s and was watching it, and I remember it was underwater, and I remember that. But the only reason I even remember it is because I'm like, as a kid, I was like, oh, that's my name in there, you know, which, you know, other than jeans, you don't fucking see it that often. And so like Leviathan or Leviticus are always my RPG character names, and so it's like that's why I had to pick Leviathan this month.
Leviathan's so sick. I'm glad it got picked.
I'm glad it did too, man.
I wanted to see it forever.
All right, let's talk about that, because this movie is a thing.
What dad? Was it oil rig dad? Because that's exactly who I. Oh my god! That was the whole time I was watching this. I'm like, it has to be him.
It was.
I was like, yeah. Because it's like
him with
a can.
Him with a fucking giant lip full of Copenhagen and an empty Pepsi can, watching Leviathan. Like,
hell yes, dude. Hell yeah. No, I can picture that.
Yeah.
But all right, yeah. Do you want to tell the fine folks, or you want me to do it? You did it last time.
Why don't you do it, Mister? You're living at the bottom of the sea. You got the blood pressure up to.
I've been you know, reading the deep and have been horrified of Sea Labs.
Like, dude, Sea Labs are too
terrified
cool,
of Sea Labs. Yeah. I do love them. But all right, so this movie is called Leviathan. It's from 1989. It's by George P. Cosmatos. It takes place in the dad
of what's his face?
The
directed Mandy.
Oh, is it? It is.
It
right,
is. Because I recognize that name, and I had to look it up.
Do you know why? It's because he did fucking... We watched one of his movies recently. Or no.
Yeah,
we
Tombstone.
We didn't watch one of his movies.
Right?
Yeah, Tombstone. Yeah, we did Tombstone. Yeah. And that's the connection. My mind was blown when I was like, oh my god, duh, he's Tombstone. Go listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
And it's like such a weird... I love his filmography. It's great.
It's odd.
So anyways,
it's odd.
We finally, it's really odd. It's really wild, but I love it.
This
is
why we have to have a written synopsis. It's like we're too easily distracted.
Oh, well, anyway, yeah, right.
We haven't gotten to the synopsis. You were reading the titles. Anyway, go on.
I know. The synopsis, takes place in the near future in a really deep underwater sea lab where these miners are all working, and it's like a small, like,
not children, miners.
No,
mine
no,
for-
silver. They're mining for silver ore, which is kind of cool. And one of the quote unquote captain, he's a geologist, and he's working down there with them. And it opens up with like them finishing a day's work, coming back, and then there's oh, see, yeah, now I'm really screwing up because now I only watched this like a day ago.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's coming back, and there's turmoil, and you kind of learn that, like, they don't really respect him, and there's a doctor on board, and the doctor isn't really, like...
He's got a history of, like, subordinates.
That supportive.
Like,
yeah, right. He's...
He's killed some people by accident, so it's kind of like, this is definitely, like,
right.
Not the A-team. They're just a bunch of fucking, like, white-collar workers or whatever.
Right. And then, so you learn, like... Later, blue collar workers. That, the frickin', the like main character, the captain, Peter Wellers, he's talking with the suits, the people up top, you know, broadside, who are like, they're telling him like, oh yeah, you're gonna be finishing in like 3 days, you're producing a lot, and they're like, oh yeah, this will ore itself, it's gonna be able to like, you know, basically just run itself, we can get our crew out of here. And so everyone's super excited to get out. And then you take it from here, because I really don't remember what.
Yeah. Well, it's because it does take quite a minute for the inciting incident to happen, because it's like they do the one guy from fucking Larry from Home Alone gets lost.
Oh, God.
And they find a sunken ship at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's in Russian, and it's called the Leviathan. And they're like, weird. Yeah. There's no recorded sunken ship here.
It's a very mysterious sunken ship too, because like there's a blast point on the ship and it was torpedoed. And so they're like, this is really odd. And then they find the old case files in one of like the records rooms.
Yeah, they find a safe. Deceased. Yeah, they find a safe.
Yeah,
with
they find
all
a
that.
Safe that, and it's got the records. And then it's got this mysterious fluid. And that's
the
right. So like foul mouth
vodka from the fucking flask. And
right.
The foul mouth, the fucking wet bandit.
Home Alone. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The wet bandit. The skis ball. He's the first to go because he drinks the vodka, and then he shares it with one of the other women on there. And they both get sick. And they go to the infirmary, and then he starts turning into a dolphin person. And
it's exactly
like,
that episode of South Park.
Right. Literally, though. And so, like, Yeah, but things, yeah, and then just craziness kind of ensues.
They start to mutate. They find out they become the thing for some reason.
Creature,
they, like, melt.
Yeah,
together.
There's like, yeah, there's like a creature on board, and like whatever the substances they drink, it like feeds on organisms, and the organisms start coming together, and but then it's like funny because then they keep talking. The only time they're talking with like the suits up top is like this pre-recorded video because that's totally how it was filmed.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But anyways, they're like on they're video conferencing with them, and they're like, when are you going to let us up here? And they're like, oh, we're actually having some problems. Sorry, there's a hurricane, and so we can't help you. And so they tell them like it'll be another 12 hours. Then they goad them and they lead them on, and then it's going to be another 48 hours before they can get them.
And that people are
they
dying
find the
left
files.
And right.
Yeah, right, exactly. The whole
they're
the
like, yo,
being, like,
get us
taken over
out of here.
Yeah, and they're really like, hey, this is a distress call, and then they get a call back from up top, and they're like, oh, sorry, you like we're not supposed to go down there because you guys are all deceased. Like they pretty much try to wipe them from the record.
Well, the doctor sends the thing that basically.
Oh, that's right.
He sends out the escape pods, if you will. You know, the fucking balloon floaters, lifeboats that would get them out of there. He sends that off, and then he sends a message like, I hope that you'll see my heroism for saving humanity, because he recognizes how dangerous and volatile this contagion is. And then so they're like, oh, yeah, they got this thing the Russians had. And so they're like dead. So turns out they don't need it. They can just float to the surface anyway, because they get in the fight with the thing.
That's
and
right.
Then they're like, it's imploding now because reasons. And so they have to fucking float to the surface, which they do with zero problem whatsoever. And it's broad daylight, and sharks show up just in case.
And they're in 8 feet of water in the middle of the ocean.
I know, I saw that. And he's just standing there.
Yeah. They're standing.
You can see him. He's standing.
That. Oh man, I'm so sorry, everybody out there in the world. Anyways, it's kind of like there's a lot of ticking clocks. That's pretty much it. It's happily ever after for the two white people, and there's an infamous shot in there where it ends and Peter Weller's is walking away, and like the suit comes up and goes, "Oh my God, I'm so glad you guys are okay." And he
I
goes,
knew
I'm
you'd
okay
get
now,
out of there,
bitch,
yeah,
or whatever. Yeah, and he's like, "I'm fine now," and he like punches her, and it ends.
I was surprised it kept going. It just kept going, and I'm like, "Why?" And then it was like, "Oh, it's for the punch out." Like, sure. Yeah, right. Sure. Like, she's a villain. She left him to die and whatever. But, and that's the movie. I don't know. The ending was, and then fucking the dude, the black dude from Ghostbusters, I forget his name. I'm terrible. But he makes it till the end, and then he just dies unceremoniously as they're trying to get rescued.
Yeah. It's Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. That's right.
So, it's not even
brutal.
Dude, do you know what's wild? He, like, everybody, or at least, I don't know. I watched
the video.
I read an interview too, because it was the director and Ernie Hudson were like back and forth, like, hey, this is just kind of like dumb. Like, it really is like, why would you get him all the way here just to have him die? And then the director kept being like, no, he has to die, 'cause it's going to be shocking to the audience. But then it's pulled off so poorly.
That's
with no weight.
That's kind of this whole movie, honestly. It's like, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's necessarily. I mean, it is bad, but it's fun. But it's literally. I wasn't even sure how he died. It looked like he just got like clubbed with a piece of rubbery latex foam. And then he just sank down in the water, and I'm like, he's just drowning. Save him!
he got flippered, and then I don't know. The helicopter guys could only save two humans.
If he would have got his fucking head ripped from the if he would have got ripped in half like down the middle or something, that like, oh, that is shocking.
Right.
Yes, like
right. Even if they just showed blood coming out of his mouth or something as he was floating down, I don't know. Something that was more
anyway.
Like, give me. Like, it was, no, it literally was, like, whole time I'm
watching
this.
That's this whole movie, though, man.
Dude, do you know how many times I went with this? I went, oh, they're going to kill the black guy here. Because it's, like, 1989. Like, that's just
classic. Yeah, sure.
That's, like, a trope. It's a trope by this point.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm, like, waiting for it. And then he gets to the surface, and I'm like, fuck, they actually did it. And then, like, that of fucking Dead Island, or no, what's that stupid, oh, my gosh. Now I ruined it again. Oh, crap. The lizard. Guys, got it. This is half the podcast. We gotta cut this out.
never.
Is me forgetting a movie name?
That is true.
Articulates perfectly. I always do. I'm so bad.
It'll come to you when you're not thinking.
But I know exactly what it is. It's the Super Troopers guys What the fuck is that?
Oh, Club Dread.
Club Dread. Oh my God, give me a break.
That's here. What I'm here for,
Club
bud.
Dread.
I'm here for you.
I know you can remember. I know I've seen every movie in the world, but I can't remember half
the
names.
We were talking about Club Dread the other day.
And that's exactly in the style of Club Dread. The monster just comes back out of nowhere, just like jumps out of the water, and you're like, how'd the monster get there again? Oh, I don't know.
So this is your first time watching it, right? Let's hear your first impressions, right? So like what were you expecting? What'd you get?
I think this movie, it was a disservice to itself because the first 15 minutes, like the first, I don't know. Honestly, even then, to the inciting incident, I was actually like so fucking on board. I was so amped. It looked awesome. Like that huge elevator, like the sets felt real. I was like, holy shit, this is super huge and lived in.
Sometimes they felt cheap as fuck. Sometimes.
No.
When it's falling apart.
It's weird. No, exactly. I was just about to say, it's like the weirdest. That's what I mean. Like the first.
The elevator, though, like, definitely was the cool. And
that,
like outside
that
was pretty
elevator
cool.
Elevator is so cool. Even the suits and like the computers and everything they were using, they were really cool. I loved it because they had this like fictitious, like big bubbly future that they, you know, that we expected. Like that's, you know, in the 80s, everyone thought like, this is what it's going to be. It's going to be big. Like, we made everything so big. That was my notes. I was like, the 80s were so big.
That's part of what sci-fi is so cool. We talked about this when we did Alien. I mean, go back and listen to that. But it's like any other, like, sci-fi movie that's, like, from the era, it's like their version of what the future is going to be like. And it's always like, CRTs. And it's like, but they talk at you. So it's the future.
Right. Exactly. Well, it's like, but I love it because it's like, it's the technology we have now. And we can't think that like in 100 years, it'll be any different than this. Like, you know, it'll just be this, but a little bit faster. So it's like,
I hope we regress and get rid of cell phones and go back to our spaceships. Just have monitors that people click clack on.
Just like half the wall has to be like, you know, tubes that just are running wires.
Just,
but anyways,
random vents of steam everywhere.
Like, I loved like the beeps and the boops and like the computers working and like, and I love the like fake ass gibberish that like is coming through, and they're like, oh no, make sure that the double clutch is down on the bid rod.
Dude,
you know,
that,
talking about
I, okay, like it's gonna take it. A minute. I was there. I was way on board too, because I'm like, this is just ridiculous. They're just like trying to make it sound like they wrote it because that's what people do. But they didn't go any deeper to like setting anything up. That's this whole movie, dude. This whole movie is like, this is how a movie should be. And so they do this because that's what a trope is and a character does. But there's like no anything past that. Like, it's ridiculous.
Which is funny. It's like Peter Weller's he is RoboCop. He like comes from a really fucking genius, well-grounded sci-fi
attention
film.
To detail, like I think that's the big thing. It's like there's no like James Cameron, at least with it, because the Abyss of comparisons.
Well,
and stuff. He fleshes out. He makes a movie every 10 years because he spent so long building the world. This movie's like, this is what happens, and they're like, well, we don't want to actually learn underwater and like terminology.
No, this is the scraps. This is the leftover of a James Cameron set.
But
this is like a Star Trek movie or something. But that's what I love about it.
The charm, though, kind of.
It's like super fun, and it's actually a pretty stacked like cast for what this is.
Yeah.
And like, and it, like, you can tell like the work that went into
everybody was trying, and I felt that. Yeah. And which I appreciate that, because it's like this movie was sort of a train wreck. Like, it's like kind of objectively bad in a lot of places, but it's like, it's never boring. It's not, I was always entertained. Like, all the actors were like kind of, I mean, they did seem like they walked on the set after doing snorting a bunch of Quaaludes or something. And like Peter Weller definitely walked in with like the smuts in the corner of his mouth and was like, hey,
dude,
you guys get back to work.
Dude, 100%. There were some times where I'm like, this motherfucker is so dehydrated. He is, you know how high he was like 4 hours ago?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know how many times I saw them? I'm like, he has like hypertension right now because his heart is just working as hard as it can.
Yeah, dude.
Like, how red his face was.
Always. And dry. Like, he literally is just like sandpaper mouth. But and I'm like, bro, you're under the ocean, bro.
Anyway. I know, yeah. Well, dude, this movie really was like one of those like.
But it's fun though. Like it was fun. I was having fun.
Yes, of course.
First take and everything. Like first draft of the script. First idea that came into your head. First, like it's like, all right, we got. You want me to do another one? And they're like, nope, moving on. We're good.
Yeah, right.
First run on like anything. I don't know, but like.
But you know what makes me.
There's real effort. There's real effort there, which is crazy too. Like
right, and then I feel God, I'm so dude. Why can't I? What's going on today? I cannot remember a name to save my life.
You're dehydrated, but probably. Drink your fucking water.
I'm drinking
of life.
I'm drinking my water of life, dude. I've got it right here. I got my water of life. I'm drinking it, man. I don't know. Maybe like I'm on a new diet where I just eat
eggs,
meat and veggies. Yeah, well, eggs all the time, baby.
I know.
No, but anyways.
Foul.
Oh my gosh. I can't find. I fuck up some foul.
No, it's gross. Foul, like with a U.
Oh, no. I thought you meant foul.
I know. Yeah. Wordplay, baby. That's what we do here at the Coldest Sentiment Knowledge podcast.
Thank you. Thank you all for. Thank you. Thank you for staying. Thank you. Whoever's listening, we love you.
You made it.
My gosh. Heavens above. The guy who did this. All of the puppet work and all the work.
I had it earlier. See, I leave all this stuff up to you because it's like you're the guy.
I know.
You're the facts.
I'm usually pretty good at this, but I can't.
No, but he did like Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, he directed Pumpkinhead. Oh, that's how I should just find him. He directed Pumpkinhead. Stan Winston. My God, there he is.
That's right.
Everybody, Stan Winston. He's a master, and he's like. Really cool. I love his work.
Yeah.
It's great. And he did all the mechanic work, all the puppet work. He did like, and he like directed the monster and the people around it. Like he was there for a lot of it. He really put his heart into it. And that is what that saved this movie for me because everything else felt so hollow and cheap. And then to see like the puppet work, I was like, oh, okay, fuck yeah.
But
like
the puppet like, was
it's,
like,
it's legit.
It was cool. But it was like never like the puppet itself.
I know.
And like scenes
I
of the
know.
Puppet.
It never got utilized enough.
No,
like
especially
the thing, they
the
have
end,
the balls to show it.
Yeah. Like the worst is because it's like the puppets, the monster when you're seeing it in quick glances. And like when DeJesus or whatever gets attacked by like the slug before he gets transformed.
That,
and then you
dude,
see
yeah,
his face and he's like, kill me.
That's
terrifying.
That's the best.
Yeah.
That's the best scene too.
Yeah.
DeJesus, like his performance. I was like,
was
oh
committed.
Man, that was first take and he nailed it.
Yeah,
like that was
he
one
was
of those like
eager.
Like he oh dude, he yeah, and he was I mean, he probably was sorry to blaspheme here, but he probably was like had some like vodka sweats or something because he seemed
he also seemed
like
yeah, I don't know what was going on pretty, behind the
everyone,
set of this
everyone
movie,
seemed
man.
Really really sick. But no, I don't.
I know
probably,
dude, Peter Weller
due to,
too, it's like
he looked gaunt, dude.
I was like, I had to look it up because I was fucking terrible. I was like, Peter Weller died in the 90s of like AIDS, right? And I looked it up because I honestly thought that.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
And so okay,
I was
cool.
Like,
that's good.
I was like, yeah, this is right around the time he started getting sick and died. And then I was like, oh, never mind. He's still alive. Because in this movie, he looks like he's dying. He looks like he's going to die soon.
Yeah.
Which kind of added to it, though. I don't know. Something about I really like Peter Weller, like surprisingly, because
yeah.
Have you ever seen? He's like always kind of like a
well,
sci-fi
naked,
guy, like
naked
Screamers.
Lunch.
I've never seen Naked Lunch.
Well, I forget. Like every time Naked Lunch comes around, I'm like, oh my God. I love Naked Lunch.
That's on my list of shame because I've seen like every Lynch movie but that, or Cronenberg.
Cronenberg.
The other.
David. Well, no, it is like no, dude. I totally, literally, when you said Lynch, for like a split second in my brain, I was like, is it? I was like, no, it's not.
Well, they're close enough, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's like, it's too weird body horror for Lynch. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Back this movie, that's the thing, though. It's like, it definitely felt like somebody watched a bunch of other movies, and like, they weren't like stealing it.
But it
was in his brain. He's like, yeah, that movie was really cool. And so it's like, this movie really is like part Alien, part The Thing, part
right. In an interview, he says that he says I wanted to make movies that I liked come together, and it literally is like Alien and the Thing.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I mean, they talk about this all the time. Like, movies kind of take from each other all the time, but it's hard not to compare because it's so recent when it's just like, you see the like, sometimes it's like creature, sometimes it's like scaly like a fish, sometimes like it's a weird amalgamation. But
yeah,
like, the weird like morphing together of the faces and stuff. It's like obviously you're thinking the Thing, and it's like
the
contagion. There's even the scene. I was like kind of laughing because I was like, why did they do this? I ask myself that question so often.
Why did they do this? No, yeah.
I love your description, though. The blood. It was cool in the Thing. And so they're like, oh my God, that you got to the blood. I'm like, what?
Well, it really is. It's just like, anything that the organism is, it's like that. And then when they lure the organism, they make a blood trail, but it's not even like.
Well, they don't really show it. They just show them giving blood.
And disgust? Then, yeah, well, right.
That's kind of how it goes, too, because, like, even when... Dude, there's so many things in this movie where it's just, like, he's looking, and he's like, I just saw the doc's face. And then it's a close-up of the doc's face, and it's terrifying, but then it's the shot of, like, what his angle, and there's absolutely nothing. It does feel like they just, like, are, like, look off camera, and then, like, we forgot to film that. You know?
Yeah. Like, no, really, though, yeah. And I feel like there's times where it, like, shows the shadow in the hallway and stuff, and I'm like, was that supposed to happen? Like, I feel like there were times where that happened, and I'm like, I don't know. Being a little confused on their decision making.
It was interesting. I mean, yeah, dude, that's this whole movie. I was very much like, what? Why? But it was like, I found it like fundamentally just like perplexing because it's like I was having a good time. I wasn't like this sucks. Like, it's not a good movie necessarily, but it's like kind of a blast in a way. I don't know. And like we said, we're kind of biased to this type of movie. It is like a right up our alley. It's like
it's right
Alien
up my alley.
And the
yeah.
Thing at the bottom of the ocean. It's like, yeah, bud.
Yeah. When there's on watching this movie and then like looking into it, there's people who are like, it's like Deep Rising, Deep Star 6, you know, the Abyss, obviously, but the Abyss is the only one that like Abyss is the only film that actually had like positive reviews.
Well, that one's more like sci-fi, like hard sci-fi too. Like, it's like not that much.
There was,
it's not horror.
In 1989, there was The Abyss, Leviathan, The Evil Below, and The Lords of the Deep.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's like those four popular. Came out in the same year.
We need a resurgence of that though.
Deep Star 6. Oh, even Deep Star 6 was 89. So it's like, that's insane. Like there's so many of these underwater movies. It's like, it's weird where it almost like, I know that theaters and like studios, they leak their projects and then other studios glom on and they'll try to make like a cash grab and they'll make it. And this movie was filmed in like a month. It was shot really fast.
Clearly.
Kind of shows. But,
yeah.
But I think the full turnaround for this release was like 2.5 months. It was like crazy fast for how they shot this. And so, which is like, you know, a lot of films are like that too. But this just, I don't know, this has so many like gaps in it. But then it's like, it's weird. It also, I think it's like, I want to like shit on this constantly and it's like easily, you know, doable. You could just continue to like rip on everything about it. But then I'm like, it actually is coherent and moves along.
Oh, yeah.
The plot continues. And so like, I don't know. It's weird to be like.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, other than the boring, it's got like a little bit of a slow start, but it's like.
But that's my favorite part, honestly.
I agree. I like, it's like, I like that setting and I like that setup and it did feel cozy in like that it's like an 80s movie but also familiar that it's like, oh, this is like the crew on Alien, like the dining room they're in even looks like the fucking dining room.
Just I
was like, they're gonna do the chest burster scene and then they didn't, but then they did because I was like, oh, okay, they didn't do it with him because I thought they were gonna do it with the you know fucking what's his face Lloyd Sticky Bandits, but I thought they're gonna do it with him and then he just dies off screen and nobody cares really until he's like, hey doc. He's like, I forgot to tell you, he's dead now. And he's like, darn it. Should we tell the rest of everyone? I guess not. Everyone's reaction to something, except for Ernie Hudson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except for him later, his reactions were finally like, are you realizing what we just went through? Like, because that makes sense. Like, I feel like that was a note to the script. Like, they were on set and they're like, hey, everyone's reaction to this is really just chill. Like, they're kind of just tame. And they're like, we need to. Like, can you imagine that? You're throwing about a body and then it breaks out and it's all morphed together like tentacles. Like, people should be freaking out. And they're like, all right, yeah, we'll add that. We'll add that. So, yeah, we'll just, you know, you'll be freaking out and we'll go from there. And he's like, yeah, okay. And that's what, like, this movie, I don't know. But I'm curious just while I'm thinking about it, so I don't forget to ask, what was your biggest, like, laugh, though? Like, unintentional laugh, right? Like, did you? Because right. I got a lot of good laughs. But that's the thing, it's like, I don't know. It's not so bad, it's good. Because it's not that either. It's not like The Room or something.
No, right.
But it's like,
I think it's like, it's the audacity. I kept being like, they're just doing that? Like,
it is. Just, it's ballsy. Gonna, it's ballsy. They're like, and it's fun. And like, kinda, no, yeah.
I mean, there's a scene I remember, like, I don't exactly remember what got them there, but they're like, oh no, we got to go. I think it's when they lock the girl, or yeah, that's what it was. When the sick girl, the mullet girl, not the astronaut girl, the blonde, mm-hmm. when she comes in, strawberry blonde girl, and she's like, oh, I'm not feeling very good. And then, like, she's really sick. And then she kills herself. I was just like, holy shit. It's like, what? Like, it literally, like, and they're just like, they're like, she took her own life. Like, it's a good thing she did it. And then they put them all in the same body bag.
Like, and they're like, it's normal. Like,
yeah. No, and they're all, everybody's carrying the body bag without a single thought. Like, I don't know.
The guy, the one guy's like, this is a union violation.
There's no,
and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Right. There's no, like, conversation to be like, hey, isn't this weird that there's, like, three bodies in this thing that, like, three people have died so fast.
And
like,
now it's moving. They must be alive.
Well, yeah, right. And then that, like, and that was done well.
No,
like,
that was cool.
The
was
whole,
cool.
Like, I feel like, they're still alive in there. Like, that, yeah. And so, like, that was cool. And, like, it ripping through and stuff. Like, a lot of the surprise was great in this. But that, I was like, her the things happening so abruptly,
yeah,
it just kept being like, what the hell? But then there's a part when, like, I think they're going to see her in the bathroom and they're like, let's go, and like they both get up very like not there's no yeah. rush, there's no rush,
they're just trying to follow, like, their blocking,
they know one guy is dead already mysteriously, like, with these lesions, and it's like, yeah, it's like really,
they're
bad,
like, let's
and
check
somebody
on
else
her
is
now.
Sick. Yeah, and they're like, let's check on her now. And he, like, gets out of his chair. Like, dude, I get it. I was like, what?
That's good. See, it's like,
well, what about you? Where'd you?
I got two big ones. And the one was just like the doctor.
The tentacle.
The doctor's typing. No, the tentacle was fun, but
I loved him. Yeah.
The doctor's typing, and it's his reverse shot. But you're supposed to be looking at what he's typing, because that's like right before he sends his note. But I was so distracted because, The reflection was so glaringly clear, I could barely read the words. But in the reflection, he's literally, if you're watching the YouTube, he's literally like one finger, he's like doing this. And then the sound effect is like, and then the voiceover from the robot every time is just some guy off camera, it sounds like. It's just like, countdown to explosion in 4 minutes. It's like, it's literally like the sound box.
It's
from
very Dark Star. It's very Dark Star.
I was going to say MASH too. Like, it's just,
oh,
like,
sure. Yeah.
But yeah, Dark Star is probably a better thing. But the other one too is that I was literally like, why are they putting a ticking clock on this? Like, when it's like an implode, I'm like, they're already like trapped down there.
But I wanted to say the amount of ticking clocks on this. I don't even know. I wanted to start writing them down. I think there's like six.
It's
ticking clocks through this whole thing.
Because it does feel like during writing, they're like, that's screenwriting 101, baby. I'm going to have 10 ticking clocks. Yeah.
Right. It's like, basically it has to be like, you know, and then this happened.
No, that's totally involved with my neck. The other big one that got me probably the hardest is when they get to the surface, you think they've escaped. And then it's literally like, oh, fuck, sharks. Like, it's just sharks for like a minute. And then they leave, and then the monster comes.
That's it. No, I love it. Yeah. It's just sharks. And it's
for like 2 seconds,
I guarantee
I'm like, why?
You,
we already have a huge threat. We don't need to add another threat. Like,
no.
And then
you are right, because that's like another ticking clock, essentially. That's like, they're like, all right, and now another threat. It's like I feel like they wanted to be like, it's an onslaught for the audience. Like, I guarantee you the screenwriters were just like high on coke too.
Oh, 100%.
Like they're like throw some sharks at them, you know. And it's like how are we gonna shoot this? And it's like, it's cool. My uncle Jimmy at his apartment complex in Van Nuys, he's got it in a pool, so we can just shoot it in the pool. Don't worry, but
yeah, don't worry. Like, we'll figure it out later in post. Is what it would be now. I don't know, but like, I was just
the sharks are good.
Ass.
I guarantee you, Cosmatos had just had footage of sharks. Yeah. And he's like, I got to figure out how to use
this. That's why I was laughing so bad.
It's got it burned into my pocket.
They're literally like, sharks, like out of nowhere. And they're just immediately at the same time that they're screaming, it cuts to like two cardboard fins. Like, yeah. And then it cuts to stock footage of sharks.
Yeah.
I was like, I was howling, man. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, why? Dude. Sharks now? What?
And I loved how you could see them. I guarantee you when they were getting scuba certified, probably, no, not even then. Those are like real. Those are pool sharks. Like they were in a swimming pool and the shark was bumping against them. Yeah. Like I was just like, I'm like, this is amazing. Like it kept that. I think it's just that. The audacity of this movie.
It is. It's that's like, you got to respect sort of like that is just like all gas, no brakes in every aspect in the production, in this, like, like you said, first draft, like we're just go. It from the very center of the screenwriting. I was actually surprised because I did not know, other than the setting, I did not know what this movie was about at all. As far as like the plot.
I didn't know it was a creature feature necessarily.
I guess
with Leviathan, I just assumed it was a monster.
I've seen like a thing of the monster. But like not really. Like I don't know, it was like distorted, but it's like Leviathan is like a giant biblical fucking creature, like a kraken. Yeah. Like I figured it would be some giant beast.
I thought they would get attacked. I thought the
from a creature, yeah, from a creature already under the water,
right?
That
from a,
would maybe
from a,
get
like,
in
from but, a yeah from a mythical creature like you said, but like
yeah,
I thought
like
it was going to be like
Cthulhu
grounded
fucking,
in reality,
yeah,
right,
like underwater or something. But it was weird when they found the ship. I was like, oh, here we go. And then it was like named Leviathan. I was like, huh. Okay. So it's like,
I liked that, actually.
I was like, okay. Unexpected. And then it was, yeah. I mean, they did jump to a lot of conclusions of it being like a government genetic experiment, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They got there quick.
Yeah. It was like, they probably did that so that they can work underwater. Think about it. Dolphin people. And it's like, yep, you're right. You're right. Goddamn
the
right.
Russians. Yeah.
I'm gonna get someone from the kitchen. You want something? And then he gets killed by a slug.
Oh my god, I forgot. That is that part. Holy shit, that part. If we're gonna still like this will just keep happening because I'll keep coming up with things that are like the audacity. They've been on this mining ship for forever. They're whatever, you know. It's like they're very comfortable, especially the miners. But when he's making popcorn and he's like, "I'm looking for butter for the popcorn," and then he's opening cupboard. He literally was directed because Cosmatos was in there. Just like he had his big like fat cigar and he's chewing it. And his Cosmatos was like, "All right, now your objective here. You gotta find the butter. Now the butter's hiding somewhere. And you gotta find the butter.
You're typing
like, oh, I'm
now.
Looking for it. No, yeah, that's sexy. That's sexy. All right, now you're looking for the butter. Like, all right, now open
look
that
around,
cupboard.
Look around.
No, look underneath this. Look under these caps. Yeah, look around for the butter. You don't know where it is. I just like the whole everything about it was like it's just like they were like, all right,
that,
you guys have
that
fun.
Does
and you
feel,
shoot this.
Every scene feels like that. Like. Just start talking about fucking underwater. Here's some underwater terms. Just throw them out. Like Peter Weller seemed genuinely confused and like not as just it was great acting. But it's just so many the typing on the keyboard is literally like the stare off in the space and act this way. Like the direction is fucking crazy. Like it's right. Like,
which is wild because Tombstone, I feel like, was directed well. Like I just like you know, I don't know. I don't remember having any
Everyone got off the coke. When the 90s rolled around, they're like, this is a Western now. Like we're not making
maybe,
a fucking
and maybe it honestly could have been that where like there was more studio heavily involvement from the studio. Like this feels like a really quick run and gun. They had like two sets and that was it, you know, and then they just shot this movie. Cause that's definitely 100% the astronaut girl, when she goes and listens to her music and she's like, I deal with my emotions this way, you know, like running and stuff. There are two sections of like
the hallway,
you know,
or whatever
length of hallway. Yeah. Like, yeah. Two of those intersections and that's it. Like that. It's definitely shot back and forth reset. Like, you know, the different set dressings. Cause like how she runs through it. And I'm like, oh, you just got through like this giant sea lab. So
I know.
Fast.
She's
like, yeah.
Hauling. Like, it's so funny. It's like when the whole ship is imploding, because that set was the most brutal too, because it was like it literally felt like they just shook it and everything started falling off of it. But like they're running and like suddenly the like floor goes out for some reason. It's just like it is. The whole thing's gonna implode because reasons, because the oxygen supply got disrupted, so now there's an implode countdown. It's not how implosions work, but
I know. I love that. Yeah.
But literally it's like, no, it's literally the countdown. And it's just a guy being like, implosion in 2 minutes. Like,
yeah, you guys should hurry. It's probably about 35 seconds now.
It's an implosion.
Yeah. And like when he's like trying to go and like the grate falls in front of the monster and then the monster's like banging on it, where like the monster just like ripped through other things and it's like, I don't know. Yeah, the inconsistencies is...
I feel like if you've never... But that's the thing that's kind of beautiful about it. Because it's like, I feel like if you're listening to this podcast right now and you've never seen this movie, you would think we're describing like this really cheap trauma-style B-movie. But you can tell they set out to try and make something genuine.
And I think that's what happened is like they're reusing sets that were hundreds of million dollars. You know, like these like people who spent like... $20 million to build this set, and then they're like, oh, it's just a backlot set now, it's just sitting there, we can freshen it up for $100,000, let's do it. You know, like, let's get in there. And it's, that, and like, so it's like they, it's really smart filmmaking like that. I think that's what I respect about it. It's like, it's a, or it's resourceful, I guess. Not necessarily smart.
Resourceful is a great way to put it, actually.
And like, and it's resourceful and it's super fucking effective. Like, I would watch this movie again in a heartbeat. I loved it.
I probably would watch
like,
it.
And it's so, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, God, it's like really distasteful. Like, it opens up with like, but it's weird because it doesn't have as much sexism or racism as I expected.
Yeah. So maybe from that character, I thought it was going to get way worse though. I did.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. But I like, and it was misogynistic to a capital M. You know, it was like classic misogyny, where like the guys are like, you're so funny. And the girls are like, you're so funny. Like, he's over there, bada bing.
What a good pair you have.
Yeah. He's like, nice pair. Oh, hey, Bubba, those are some nice knockers. And like, and then like, you know, and then they're like, oh, you're funny. And it's like tit for tat. Cause she's like, thought you were talking about my boobs. And he's like, oh, I wouldn't think about that, would I? I don't know. Yeah. But like, I don't know. It really, I kind of was like, I was actually like really bracing myself because I was like, okay, what are they going to do? But then, you know, I was like,
the best is that, you know, black guy gets out of the shower and he's like, yo, my skin, the only bad problem I see with skin around here is all the white people.
It's the white. Yeah. But the white people, dude. I loved that line.
I did too. But it was like weirdly written. And so like the syntax like didn't make sense. Really? Like the joke, but it was just like, huh?
There was no reaction to it either way. Like it was good and it was funny and I feel like it was almost kind of like a improv.
Yeah.
But like, and then the classic trope, it's like, I don't know, man, they killed him and I was so bummed. I was so excited to be like, hey, look, this movie like didn't kill the black guy. And then
he's dead now? Sure, why not?
At that point, I was like,
I thought it was going to roll credits there as they're flying away on the helicopter, but then it's like they get back, and I'm like, why are they still going? And then I'm like, oh, and then the chick's here, and he punches her out. I'm like, yeah, why? Of course. Like, why not? It's all gas.
Yeah, really, though, it was. Yeah, really, that's a good way. Yeah, like him punching her out, too, it's like, I'm just like, oh, this is, I totally see who this is made for. It's made, like, I don't know.
I'm hoping I can make it clear.
On his couch with his hand down his pants, like he's a caricature, you know.
Which was me when I was watching this for sure, just resting there. You know how it goes. My Letterboxd, I gave this movie 2 stars because it is a 2-star, 1.5-star quality, technically, but I got 4 stars of enjoyment. So I don't know how to rate that because it's like.
Right.
I had a lot of fun and I really enjoyed this movie, but it is really bad. But it's just like, I had a lot of fun laughing at like parts that were bad, that were baffling, as like, I feel like someone that didn't know about movies as much might be like, what? And like, I don't know, like they wouldn't understand like why it was bad a lot of the times, but, so much of it is just like kind of nonsensical, but I still enjoyed, like you said, the plot. Made sense, and like even though they jumped to conclusions and they did stupid things to move the plot forward like that is like an ultimate writing problem. Of like, you know, the character, like the union guy that's like, I'm not going anywhere without a chainsaw. And then he goes up and he sees a wire busted out and he sets the chainsaw down and he goes to the wires and gets attacked. Yeah. And then literally the shot is him, like his hand on it. And he's like, no, it's like getting pulled away. And I'm like, you can grab that. You're close enough.
I know. Right. But
I don't know. It was still enjoyable. More, that's what I'm saying. It's like not like The Room either, because it's like kind of enjoyable, not just to laugh at, even though that is like a big part of it for me. Like, what I got enjoyment out of it is to be like laughing at it and also being like, man, this is just like balls to the wall. But like, I don't know, the setting is cool. Like, I didn't even know until I watched that Good Bad Flicks video you posted up, which I love that guy. Shout out to his YouTube. I mean, that's not good. I like his channel, but. I didn't even know watching it. I didn't even think about it that was Dry for Wet that they filmed. Like, they filmed it,
dude,
that wasn't actually underwater, because it looked so good. I just didn't even question it because there were so many other crazy things going on.
But I literally the second it opened, I went, yes, that's so beautiful.
It looks good.
I love when it's shot like that. And it's funny because. It like it's one of those things where I'm like, I haven't seen it for so long,
yeah.
Especially in like a high budget movie like this, because I mean it's like a 50-year-old from like 89. It's like a 50-year-old thing. Like it's an old school film technique that's been around forever,
right?
And like but in other movies, it's like when it's done like that, it's like very obvious. And so in this, I was like, oh, are they do? I was like, oh, this is Dry for Wet. But then they would But then, like, so that scene, and then later they did, like, scenes when they were inside the ship, when the second time they get lost, I was like, wait a minute. I really am tricked.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell when they were inside the ship if that was a submerged ship and they were walking through it.
That's what I was wondering, too.
That looked like real water.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a fish that swam at, you know, that jumps at him and stuff, and so, like, for the 3D release. But, like, I couldn't tell in that moment. I'm like, God, if that's Dry for Wet, that's insane. But like the beginning, it's like, it looks beautiful.
It looks really good.
It looks so good.
The only
good.
Thing in the beginning that really gave it away, other than like, this is 1989, and unless you have an insane budget, filming underwater is fucking impossible.
Oh, right. Yeah.
To make look good.
I mean, them moving, there's no water moving off.
Well, the whole set, I'm like, did they build this? Because the way it was lit and everything was great. And like, how they got the like particle effects, the asbestos to float in the air or whatever.
100%.
To make it look like it was, you know, just like sea, like debris was great. Yeah. The only thing that gave it away was like, they were like, we need to sell it with these like floaty balloons. And I'm like, those are the ones that definitely look like they're just on wires or something. And so I was like, oh, okay, there's some trickery. But I didn't even really think about it because I was too distracted by all the other fucking bonkers shit going on in the movie.
Bonkers things, dude.
I'm like, it was good. But yeah, like I literally was like, oh, they filmed. I must have been hard to film this submerged ship. Like, and then I was like, and then when I saw that it was all that and basically they like fucking overcranked the camera and everything to like give it like a heavier weight. And I'm like. Yeah. Like, if they would have put that much effort into the rest of the movie, it'd be like one of the greatest movies of all time. Well, no,
I think the thing that this movie struggles with is it's rushed. And like I think it just like there was no one there, like no co-writer or something to get in and be like, hey, let's like cut out like two ticking clocks and just focus on the doctor's research and making the doctor more of a villain. Cause like what he did, it's like, there's no one was like, I like didn't realize that he like, when he like sends the things off, I really was like, oh, okay. That's like heavy. That's going to be heavy stakes. But then they were like, it's fine. We'll just get out of here. It's cool. Well, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Everyone was excited
because I was like, this is going to take like, he's going to become like this antagonist. That's like,
right.
Is an interesting dilemma that he's like going against.
I kept thinking of like Sunshine or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Where like
he's going against who we're rooting for, but like his reasons totally make sense. Like he's going to kill I thought for sure. Cause when he brings the union guy over, he's like, sit down at the table. Like we know as the audience that he's already been like, we're all going to die down here. And so I thought for sure he was just going to like fucking slit his throat with a scalpel or something. But then his hand turns into a fucking mouth and like bites him. And then suddenly he's just like, they're like, the doctor's gone. And you're like, wait, what? Like, people are just saying shit that's happening off camera. And then, the doctor just like stumbles down into the basement, is all sweaty. And then you see him again for like 2 seconds. It's like a second monster. And even Peter Weller is even like, so wait, there's two of them now? And then it's like he's just as confused because is there two of them?
Or no, I love it.
It's there one?
There's not even exposition in this like dumping. It's just everyone is saying exposition in their dialogue. This like this is definitely a first draft.
Well, and the doctor just kind of like disappeared. Like he wasn't even on the. But that's what I'm saying. His face wasn't even on the monster at the end. Like I thought he was going to kind of become like the ultimate monster after that point. I know. Yeah, right? Man. I don't know.
I know. It's so. I'm bummed because the creature's so cool, but it has no. The fact that it like. It becomes that it looks like an anglerfish now, like and it does. Then it becomes more of like a bipedal, like has opposable arms and hands, and like it becomes like a guy in a suit. Like I don't know. Like
this is one of those.
We don't get a weird transition.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that like would be cool to see a remake, where it's like a cool idea that was kind of poorly executed, but it's just like and like. You know, you can add a lot more original stuff instead of just being the thing. And you could like do an own thing with the monster. But like, I feel like we haven't, other than Underwater, which came out like a few years ago, right? We haven't had a underwater. Yeah. Like, I guess it's like they blew their load in 1989 specifically. And they're like, all right, we never have to make another movie like that again. You know?
Yeah.
Which is too bad because, like we were talking earlier, The Deep. And have you played Soma? You played Soma, right?
Yeah.
And Soma, I was thinking about those this whole time while watching it also because I'm like, man, those would be good. But The Deep is getting a TV adaptation.
Is it getting a TV adaptation? That's amazing.
That's what I heard.
The Deep has like the ambrosia and everything about
it. The ambrosia
is
cool.
That's what sucks is like this movie, Leviathan, it just didn't have pacing. Like that. Yeah. This is like when we talk about pacing. This is what we mean. Like this had momentum, and I was never necessarily bored.
Yeah,
I was confused. I was confused and slightly aroused, but I was never like bored. Okay. And like I just definitely was like freaking, yeah. I kind of like I'm disappointed. Like thinking about it now and being able to like get it off my chest and talk about it, I would recommend it. And I think this would be an awesome double feature to watch like The Abyss first and then watch because The Abyss is like it's smart and heady. And it actually like
have a couple drinks during the Abyss and then watch Leviathan drunk, you know?
Like, right, exactly. Like get because it's like you watch the Abyss first to be like, oh shit, like this is a solid movie and it's got some fun, like some fun theological and like
I really
philosophical, you know,
yeah.
Lessons. And then what? And then like you get into Leviathan and you're like, oh hell yeah, baby! Like this is like. I got some fish carnage.
That's the one. It's like you're not
blow
even.
It up,
you're
like
not
everything.
Smoking. This is like a huffing glue movie. This is an air duster movie, where it's like you're not like classy snorting cocaine and watching Leviathan. You're fucking huffing cheap air duster and watching Leviathan.
Yeah. No, really. Like, yeah. Leviathan. It's got like a. It's got like a look and an air to it. And yeah. It's just I don't.
Oh,
yeah.
I had a lot of fun, but like. I do think that this could be an interesting one to show in like film school. Like honestly, like
right.
I feel
no,
like there's
really
a
though.
Lot of
like,
teaching moments and like good
like
and
said,
bad things that kind of work together in harmony in a weird way.
It would definitely make a great adaptation of somebody like cleaning it up. Like this would be a good exercise to clean this script up because it's like it's good. It's just like way too much. It's like there's too many ideas in it.
It is. But, a lot of cocaine. Anyway, air dust or whatever. Give me a money minute. Yeah, I got the. Yeah. I'll pull up the Reddit. You get a money minute.
We're
professionals.
It did pretty poorly, but for it was $21 million to shoot and to make, and it only made $19 million.
That's the competition. You know, I think in any other year it probably would have done better, but.
And that's the thing, and I actually. You say competition, but I almost feel like it helped it because people were like, I'm going to see The Abyss or this one, you know? And they're like, okay, let's just go see. Like, they're like, oh, I've heard about this underwater movie, you know?
I
and they're
know,
like,
accidentally
saw
Leviathan.
Yeah, Leviathan. Like, I can totally see that.
Yeah, I can see that too, actually.
Oh, dude, nobody answered me in the comments. If you know, everybody out in podcast land, if you know if this movie got a full, like, worldwide distribution, I would love to know, because the only info I could find was a U.S. and Canada release, and then it released in Greece, where he's from. Like, it was, like, one of his, yeah. he had a small run. So I'm like, I wonder if it was just...
They just announced today, you saw I posted that on the Reddit, they just announced
right.
that they're doing a restoration, and they did, like, an interview with Peter Weller or whatever, and... So I hope this episode gets a bump or something. That'd be cool. But it's just so random that it's just like, I didn't think this was like a cult classic or anything necessarily. It's got like a 2.5 on Letterboxd or something. And so it's like kind of surprising to like see that it's like, nope, this is coming, coming back.
Yeah. You know, well, I'm like, and weird. I wonder if it'll have
cool. I
so
guess.
The original release, it didn't have any special features, the original DVD release.
But the special features are a fucking dying breed anyway, which sucks. So, yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't want a Criterion. Leviathan. I want a Brighterion or something, like a knockoff version
right. What's
of it.
Arrow does, like,
oh, yeah.
They kind of do.
Something like that.
You know, they do that. They get
but I would love, a good Blu-ray with, like, a bunch of special features of, like, cut scenes and, like, behind the scenes, like, BTS would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be dope. Dude, I just want to say real quick, though, The Abyss, it had a $70 million budget.
Ooh.
So it had like three times the budget, you know, that this movie did. And so, like, I actually am really impressed with Leviathan now, even more so.
Yeah. I mean, The Abyss, like, a lot of the budget, too, it's been a long time since I watched The Abyss. I actually really want to watch it again. But it's and I'm pissed because it's like we can't watch it now for this month because it's too close to this movie and it's already been on a poll and lost, but it was on last week's poll. Yeah. But it's like all the CG in The Abyss too. You know what I mean? I mean, there's not like a ton, but
right.
like the CG water and everything.
Yeah, the CG and the fact that it like legitimately was shot. How it shot The Abyss is like
that's
ridiculous.
The thing. That's why it's a good double feature is because it's like. Say what you will about James Cameron, that dude's got attention to detail. So I guarantee you, like, look at how obsessed with the ocean he is. I guarantee you he, like, they're not throwing around fake nautical words in The Abyss. Like, they're like, I guarantee you he's trying to be as factual as possible and is like, this is the real fucking science of the ocean and, like, being at these depths. Like, he's not just,
no,
I don't know.
Yeah. No, it had, like, I think... I'm pretty sure it had like two scientists on it at like all times to make sure things went right. Like it definitely,
guarantee. I almost read your Reddit. I was surprised that you. Thanks for commenting.
Yeah, man. everybody should come onto Reddit. Come
everyone should. So Turbo13 says, "Wowzers! This actually wasn't that bad in my coherent opinion." Because I called his comment. I talked to him the other day, and he. Was like, yeah, thanks a lot. I heard the shout out in the podcast last week where you called my comment surprisingly coherent. So now,
nice,
so now he's rubbing.
No, yeah, you always got. I love when you comment, man.
Well, I was just telling him. I said, oh, it's just I like all the emojis you put. And he's like, that's how I communicate emotion. I'm like, that's true.
Yeah, dude.
So he says the underwater effect looked crazy for 1989, unless I just haven't seen enough underwater movies of that era. The mystery behind the monster, I think, was awesome and had me intrigued. The best scene is the whole movie, though, is when he says, say, oh, motherfucker, then drops a dime on of a pass into the monster's mouth and it blows up. Solid 2.9.
Solid 2.9, yeah.
I know, that quote, they're like, what is the most badass quote that we can throw in here, you know? Anyway.
I know, right, yeah.
And then, I almost read yours again. Clones of People 2 says, I've never heard of this, and I was expecting a B movie, and I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. The mixture of body horror and monster movie was nice, and the design of the creature felt creative, and the setting is used well. Not the overall design that was inconsistent and messy. I liked how the creature was different every time we saw it. That is true. Every time we saw it, it was like a different creature.
Was there two?
I don't even know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Anyway, so he goes on to say, I also liked how the slow build that introduced us to the characters and the world. The film leans heavily into Alien and The Thing perhaps far too much that it feels like a ripoff of those, even taking on Jaws at the end, too. Yeah, right. The plot is formulaic and the ending is poor. Overall, I did enjoy watching it despite its flaws. I would recommend it to fans of the genre. I would agree.
Yeah,
with that.
Wonderful. Thank you for bringing that up, though. The creature does change every single
every time.
I didn't even like think
what
of that,
is
but
this
literally
gonna be?
Is.
But it yeah. did. It kept me on my toes. I'm like, what? I'm like, so what is
I
it?
I loved when Ernie Hudson goes in to talk to him, and he's like, "Hey, man, yo, I just wanted to let you know that we're we're all gonna go on the deck, and we hope you get better." And he's like, he's like, "Oh, sorry, you're sleeping."
No,
right?
That
like,
was
don't want to bother you.
That was
the
best
cool.
because we, as the audience, we know he's dead, and we at this point, I didn't know what kind.
I
of
I thought
movie
he was gonna find out then.
Yeah,
yeah,
I did too. I was like, does he not notice this motherfucker's dead? Like he's a corpse. Yeah. Like you should know he's dead. But when he started moving, I was like, oh shit! Like that's cool. Because it's like, that's kind of a good, spooky, cool, scary moment because we know he's dead. He doesn't know he's dead. And now he's moving. And so we, the audience, are like, oh, fuck. Like, that was effective, honestly. But yeah, every time it's like, I'm like, oh, is it this weird contagious disease? And then I'm like, oh, it's like gill people. Holy shit, they're going to turn into crazy fish people. And then it's
dude,
like,
you
oh,
know
wait,
how
they're the thing now. And then, oh, wait, there's some weird, like, fucking SpongeBob monster. Like, I don't even know, man.
Do you know how frustrated I was? And I'm just gonna go and say I guarantee you that they were gonna do this. The executive that was on the TV, there was this shot where like her eyes looked weird.
Yeah.
And they like pushed it. They pushed in on her, and her ears were like twitching. And I thought I had to
fucking
gill people. I rewinded it because I was like, oh fuck, were there supposed to be gills? Because I was too
dude,
focused on her piercing
I
blue
bet,
eyes.
I bet they
I
were.
Thought they were.
I bet you they're like.
I thought
all
like
right,
they were
going to
do some like gills on there.
That is too much.
Yeah.
We have to cut
no,
something.
Like, yeah, like the conspiracy that's, goes to the top.
That's the line, dude.
I know. Yeah. No. Probably. Yeah. No. He probably. This is what they say. The writers were looking at each other, blurry eyed, 3 a.m, just like high on drugs, and he looks at him and he goes. That's hack, dude. Don't do that. They just kept going.
You're right.
We gotta keep going.
You're right. Yeah. Let's keep it subtle.
Yeah. People will figure that out too fast. We gotta keep going. But no, I really like, because like, I was like, man, she's up. Like, she seems evil. And then she wasn't even that evil, really. Like, she was evil, like,
well, I wish
greedy,
it
would have
went that route more
was,
of, like, the whole,
right.
like, corporate, like, you know, you're expendable and everything.
Yeah. Like, I know. I wish they, like, I wish that. I mean, she kind of does, but she just does them dirty. Like, she's like, well, this is business, bye. And that was it. Like, it's nothing like, there was no, like, monologue from her. No one was, like, a true villain in this. So, it's like, it was kind of funny that, like, the monster becomes, like, the true villain. So, that I think that's what gives it, like, it's kind of campy quality.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Anyways.
I just have to mention, also, every time they cut a piece of the tentacle off, it felt like old school, like, Italian films or something, where it would just be, like, there would be an enemy move at the chainsaw. There would be like, okay, put it next to the tentacle.
Yeah.
Action. And then he just pulls it away and the tentacle's like, bloop. Like it just cuts every time. It's just like, that was already detached. No. That chainsaw didn't
come
anywhere near that.
Do you know how long? You know, like I was waiting for like the cool. Those chainsaws were fucking badass.
Yeah.
But I could tell the second that chainsaw touched something, it would have broke or like it was
dude,
100%. But like I was
it's
waiting
like a
for
plastic
them to do
bike
like the,
chain.
To do that, like literally though, it's like it looked like a toy, like a Fisher Price toy. But I was waiting for them to like hit a tentacle and be like, and like blood and gut and visceral go everywhere.
Speaking of, dude, I know we need to wrap this up, but like, what was that flamethrower, man? Like,
what was that
like three pronged, like made from an old antenna flamethrower?
No, dude, do you know what that was? I guarantee you there was that was probably one of the most janky, like probably like I bet you somebody almost died because of one of those propane, like they had a full, I bet they had a full gas grill propane tank inside of them.
Literally,
they were huge.
Yeah,
they were so big, dude.
Oh my God, I can't. And then like one minute it's falling apart, the next minute it's ripping through like 3-inch steel doors. Anyway, so go check out Leviathan. It's pretty fun.
It's worth it.
It's got a remaster coming through. Like I don't know if it's a 4K remaster or whatever. Check it out when that comes through. That'd be cool. Moving on, we're buttoning it up. So continuing with the ocean theme. Next week we're watching a movie I've never even fucking heard of until like the other day. And it was suggested by Clones of People 2, who was also, I guess, never heard of it, but it looks really good. So we're watching the Legend of 1900 with Tim Roth.
That one?
That one.
Okay,
yeah.
Sick. Yeah, I love Tim Roth.
Yeah, that's literally, I was like, oh, this is pretty highly rated. And I'm like, oh, it's directed by the guy who did Cinema Paradiso. And then, oh, it's got Tim Roth. I'm in. Yeah, I'm in, man. Let's check it out. I know nothing about like, it.
It kind of sounds like a Shining style, but maybe it's a little different.
I think it's probably more drama, but like, we'll see. For all we know, the whole movie is just like, actually just takes place on land. Just, I know it's on a boat, but.
I know, right?
We'll see. So yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out because I know absolutely nothing about it, and I'm going to keep it that way until I watch it this next week, watch it later in the week. So,
hell yeah.
So check that out, Legend of 1900. Also, go to our Reddit and vote for, let us know what underwater movie you want to watch. I'll throw it on a poll, and we'll pick it, you know, and then you can choose and all that good shit, too.
We have, like, little questionnaires that come out, and so you can rate. You can rate the movie on different categories and then give it like a one word review.
It's kind of fun.
It's really cool. It's
cute.
It's, you know, like
I just like having fun with movies. You know what I mean? Like I like watching movies and having fun.
And do you like to give your opinion? I'm sure you do. I fucking do.
Everyone does. Everyone never shuts the fuck up about it. I'm like, I kind of don't care about your opinion, but about movies, not you, Jordan. You, the listener.
I want the listener's opinion.
Give me your opinion. That's the only one I want.
Come to our Reddit. If you go to freaking, we have a YouTube, baby. I know how you Gen Zs love your YouTubes. You get out there.
All right.
You comment on our YouTube. And then if you go into your parents' wallet and you get out some money and you get out their credit card and you go to patreon.com/coldestknowledge and you type their credit card in at one of our tiers.
They won't even notice because it's so cheap. It's cost nothing a month. It's, the highest tier is like fucking $10 a month or something.
Yeah.
And you get all kinds of good shit. They're not even going to notice. That's less than your fucking Netflix and everything. So go, go get your mom's purse.
We have bonus content. We got stickers. We got love.
We did a podcast like 6 months ago for Oppenheimer, which just won Best Picture at the Oscars. So you're probably need to know our opinion on it. And you can only get that primo info from our Patreon. So. I know you won't. That'd be great.
There you go. I dare you to.
I dare you. You fucking piece of shit. All right.
No, we love you. We love you.
No, I'm trying to reverse psychology. They don't want to be loved.
Okay. All right. Bye.